Appreciate your prayers this morning. Certainly want the Lord to bless us this morning. I do have something on my heart today, and I pray the Lord would bless it to all of us. Have you ever had someone ask you, like, you ask them a question, and their response to you is, "Do you want me to tell you the truth?" You know, it seems like a kind of a strange question or a strange response, right? I mean, you know, "Well, I'm going to tell you the truth," or they'll say something to that effect, like they're emphasizing the fact that what we're about to say is true. Do you want the truth?
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
You know, that question or that response seems pretty obvious. You know, it's like, who's going to respond back and say, "No, I'd rather you lied to me. No, don't give me the truth." You know what I mean? Tell me what I want to hear. You know, tell me something that's going to please my ears. Give me lies. Just in mentioning that right now, I'm reminded of a scripture, and I can't remember where it's at. Well, where it says, they said, "Prophesy unto us smooth things. Prophesy unto us deceit," basically. And I don't know where it's at. But the people of Israel, essentially, I don't know if they said it here. It says that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. This is in Isaiah 30. Verse 9 and 10, which say to the seers, "See not," and to the prophets, "Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits." And if we look throughout the scriptures, we'll find numerous instances where I'm reminded of the king that was conferring with Jehoshaphat, saying, "Should we go to the battle?" And all these prophets, 400 prophets, were saying, "Yeah, go on to battle. You're going to win. You're going to fight them, and you're going to succeed, and the Lord's going to be with you," and all this. And Jehoshaphat thought, you know, is there not a prophet of the Lord? And the other king, I think it was Ahaz, said, "Well, there is one other prophet, but I don't like him because he doesn't have anything good to say about me." So basically, he didn't like what this prophet had to say or the messages that this prophet was bringing forth. He didn't care whether the prophet had the truth or not. He wanted to hear something. He wanted to hear something that lined up with what he wanted, what his intentions were, what his thoughts were, what his path that he wanted was. Just tell me what I want to hear. And it seems weird because none of us really go about to say that, right? Nobody's really going to make that response and say, "No, I don't want you to tell me the truth. I want you to tell me something that's going to make me feel better. I want you to tell me something that I can get a hold of that I won't have to change. That's what I'd rather you say to me." But we won't do that because it doesn't sound acceptable, right? To say something like that. It seems kind of strange to say that. And so the obvious answer is, we should want the truth.
Yes.
We really should. But reality says that a lot of times people don't. They just don't.
But Marvin, sometimes they hear the truth, but we hear what we want to hear.
Yes.
When we're hearing the truth.
Yeah, he said sometimes we hear the truth and we still hear what we want to hear in the face of the truth, you know. And so we're twisting it or framing it or somehow adjusting it to meet what we want or to meet our needs or our vision of things. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, it's kind of, this section here is a little bit confusing in a way, so I'm going to read a few verses ahead of this one, but the gist of it is in verse 10. It says, "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved." You know, I think about this verse, and it's actually a concerning verse. It should concern every one of us. Because it's saying that these people have these lying, deceptive things that were brought to them by Satan and through his workings and bringing about delusions into the people. And because they didn't love the truth, or because they couldn't grasp a hold of the truth, no matter what the truth was, no matter what the truth said, they couldn't get a hold of it to a point where they could receive it, and because of it, they perish. It says because they can't come to that realization, they perish and can't be saved over it. Now, our salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. Right? Through faith in His blood. Through the remission of our sins. But the reality is if you can't ever admit that you sin, then there's a problem.
Yes. Yes.
You can't be saved.
Amen.
If you can't accept the truth, then you won't be saved.
Yes.
And so it's a very serious situation. And let's go to, can't remember why I wrote this one down, but I wrote it down during the Sunday school, and it skips me as to what it says, but when Brother Damon was doing the Sunday school this morning, this scripture, I believe he read it, and it's in John 3 and 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." So basically this verse is telling us the same thing that we've already been talking about, and that they loved the darkness, or they loved the lie, or they loved the deception, because they didn't want to have to admit to the light. They didn't want to have to attest that the light was showing the true thing there. That the light was revealing the truth, and they didn't want to accept that, and so they rather hid in the darkness. But in that darkness, you'll find that it goes and leads toward eternal hell.
Yes, amen.
Do we really want the truth or not?
Yes, amen.
Do we want God to illuminate our minds and our hearts, yes, to tell us the truth about things? Yes. Or would we rather try to be comfortable in ourselves? And I'm okay, I'm not really that bad, or I haven't really done that big a deal. You know what I mean? It was just a little lie. It wasn't that big of a deal. Do we want, or are we ready for God to illuminate that to us and show us the reality of what it is? John 18. John 18 and 37. "Pilate therefore said unto him," this is verse 37, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. You know, Pilate is looking at this and thinking, well, what is the truth? I mean, what are you going to base the truth on? Right? And I think the world in itself falls victim to that too, because they don't want to attest to the truth. And Jesus is saying, I came to bear witness unto you the truth, and that is that there's God. The creator of the heaven and earth that started it all from the beginning, that created man out of the dust. All this is truth. And if you can't accept that, then you're going to find yourself in darkness. Because as a result of that, you've got to believe in all that in order to get to the point where this God can deliver you and save you from your sin. Because that same truth that Jesus is bearing witness to is God Himself. And His Word and everything that He said and done. And so that is the truth that we have to come to a point where we can believe and accept it if we want to be saved.
Amen.
And this is the truth that Jesus was representing to the world, to all of us. He was representing a life lived for God. He was representing, or he was an example of one who submitted himself completely and totally to God in all that he did. All the way to the point of his own death, where he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He lived an example to us of how we ought to be living. He did it for us. He showed us how to get he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so he showed us the path. He showed us the way. And he's given us an example to follow. And he's representing to us the truth of God through all that he did and all that he lived. And it's up to us to be willing to receive it. You know, I mentioned earlier, if we're going to believe the truth, then we have to believe that God created the world. Right? We've got to believe that God formed man from the dust and set him in the garden, and he was essentially perfect the way he was created. God said it was very good. And he made man and woman, and they were together in the garden. But then he also tells us that the man and the woman sinned against God. And because of that sin that they committed against God, it brought about a curse into the earth. Not just into man and woman, but to the earth itself. And so, because of that, he's telling us that there's a restoration that needs to take place. There's a division between man and God as a result of that fall, and there needs to be a restoration. Not just for those two, but we find that it affected their children. So much so that Cain killed his brother. The next generation went as far as to murder his own brother. It went down. It passed down. That is the truth. And we could say, well, I haven't killed anybody. And yeah, maybe that's true. But we have to remember that sin is in the world, and death by sin, and there's a rebelliousness that is born in us that resists God, that doesn't want to be told what to do. I mean, you don't have to look very far. I know children are lovely, beautiful children. I mean, I love children. But there's a root of bitterness in there that if they don't get a hold of God and they don't get a realization of the truth, that they're going to go along that same path and they can eventually become that murderer.
Yes.
If they don't ever get a hold of their self and realize that they can be a rebellious person before God. that they can resist the truth. When you say you're lying, no, I'm not lying. No, I didn't say that. And they manipulate the words and they leave out little things and they don't tell the whole truth of the story. And it's a lie. But they have a hard time getting a hold of that and being able to own it. Owning the truth. And saying, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I'm just breaking it all down and saying, you're right. I utterly lied. I manipulated you on purpose to try to get out of trouble. I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want to be at fault. And so I lied. That's owning the truth. And without that, you can't be saved. I'm sorry. If you can't own the truth, you can't really repent. You can't turn from your unrighteous ways. You can't really turn from it if you don't admit it. Amen. And acknowledge it as being the truth. And so it's very important that we love truth. Yes. You know, I think sometimes our children could think that what is the big deal in a lie? But it's really the foundation of it all. If you can't tell yourself the truth, then you're in trouble. You're going to find yourself in a very bad place someday. And it's already starting. The root is already taking place. And until we can get a hold of that thing, it's going to be a tailspin. We've got to love the truth, guys. It's important. It's important for us to really get a hold of it. Because everything stems on it. These people, they were condemned because they love darkness. And essentially what that is saying is they love for their things to be hidden. They don't want them to be exposed. They don't want to have to admit it. And I'm not saying that anybody has to admit anything to me. I'm not telling you that you have to throw all your dirty laundry out to me. But you definitely have to do it to God. Amen. You definitely have to be willing to open your heart out with a full surrender, full submission, and be willing to say, Lord, this is who I am and this is what I've done. Yes. And yeah, that's a scary thing. I don't want people to know that about me. I don't want anybody to know that about me. To acknowledge it brings condemnation. Because we know it's wrong. You say, if I say I'm a liar, then that condemns me. Yes. Yes, it does. You know, I think about when I was going through parole process. Not parole process, but trying to be released. And I would have to go to a board hearing, and they would ask, you know, so what happened? Tell us the story, right? And I'll tell you, most people fell under a huge stumbling block in that because they really just could not get a hold of giving the pure truth. They just couldn't do it because it was ugly. It made them look terrible. And so in their story, it was just a natural thing that they would want to soften it up a little bit, right? Well, he actually said this, and he actually did that, and they did this, and they did that, and the board is thinking, wait a second, what did you do? You're telling me everything everybody else did, and the blaming going on, right? But reality is they want to know, what did you do? What could you have done differently? How could you have kept this from happening? Because that's why you're there. And just getting to a point where you can just lay it out there. No matter how ugly it is. And being willing to say, you know what? Yeah, I did that. This is what happened. And this was the result. And I could have done this, or I could have said this, and I could have stopped this whole thing if I had reacted this way or done that. And that's hard, because they believed that to do that would essentially just solidify everything, all the court proceedings, all the is he guilty, is he innocent, it just solidifies it all. You are guilty. You've just said it yourself. You admitted it. And everybody looks at that as being the end of the deal. You admit it all. You disclose all of it, and you pour out your heart, and you give them all the truth. And you think, okay, that's it. Now I'm done. But that's when freedom begins.
Yes.
That's when real deliverance begins. Because now you have that opportunity, because we serve a loving God, and one who is willing to forgive, and one who is willing to have mercy upon us, we can lay ourselves out there on the altar and say, Lord, this is all that I've done, this is all that I am, and I know that it's disgusting and despicable before you, and it's reprehensible, and it doesn't belong in your presence. And he can say, I'm so glad that you told me, because my son died on a cross and shed his blood for that. And now, because you've done that, and because you've poured yourself out before me like that, now the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all unrighteousness and give you newness of life. That is the gospel.
Yes.
But you can't have that until you're willing to accept the truth about yourself. Until you're willing to say, it was me, Lord. I'm the one that was wrong. It's not about everybody else. It's not about all the blaming that I could do. But it was me. And I ask that you'd forgive me, Lord. I'd ask that you have mercy on me. I don't deserve it. It's not something that I feel like is coming to me. I'm not sure that I would have an easy time giving it to someone else if they asked me for the same forgiveness I'm asking you for. And it reminds me of the scripture where the man was forgiven all those things, and yet he could not forgive his friend that owed him very little. But we can pour all of this out to God, and he can forgive us. And so although it's true that all these things stack up against us and bring about a real condemnation, it's a condemnation that if not dealt with will send us to hell. That's the truth. Those things not dealt with will send you to hell. But the good news is they don't have to send you to hell. Because Jesus Christ died so that they could be forgiven, and that you can now, as a complete backward thing, instead of going to hell or going to prison for life, you can now go to heaven.
Hallelujah.
And receive all the blessings and all the benefits of that. That's like on a completely opposite spectrum there. And God is allowing us that. Not because we deserve it, not because we did pretty much everything right. I feel like some people have a difficult time because they do feel like they've done pretty much everything right. I ran into a number of people that when you talk to them and you talk about, you know, salvation and needing forgiveness, or needing the shed blood of Jesus to forgive their sins, they have a hard time accepting it. Because to them, the things that they've done doesn't warrant that. What have I done? You know, I'm a pretty good person. I've treated everybody pretty well in my life. You know, I don't steal. You know, I haven't taken from anybody. And so it's very difficult for them to get a hold of this level of condemnation and feeling like they're condemned before God. But it's more than just those actions. It's a rebellious nature before the Lord. A rebellious nature that prevents them from giving completely and total surrender to God and saying, not my will, but your will be done. It's more of a still, they want to do their own way and want God to accept it. Any sin or any rebellion against God is enough to bring condemnation. It separates us from God, who is our life source. So when I got saved, I poured out my heart before the Lord. And I laid it out there. I told him, you know, I mean, he knew what I did. He didn't need me to tell him. But there's something in us verbalizing it. There's something in us saying it ourselves. I know they heard it. And two, I'm owning it. I'm saying it. It's not what I know. Well, God knows everything and He knows all. No, I think it's important for us to be specific where we can be specific.
Yes. Yes.
To let Him know that I know that I did this and I know that I did that, and being able to even sometimes envision the people in your minds that those things happened, or those words that were said, or those things that were done, and being able to envision the circumstances around it and the possible ramifications that it could have had on the individual that happened to, or that situation, and owning it all. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not putting it off, not watering it down for our own sake so that we don't feel as bad. But getting to where we can really see the evil of it, the corruption of it, the way that it's affected, that it's a rottenness that has taken place because of it, and owning all that and allowing that to then bring us to a point of full repentance before God. Because He has offered us deliverance and freedom of that thing. I say as much as we were able. I don't remember all the things that I've done. Unfortunately, I don't remember everything that I've done. But I know that I've prayed unto the Lord. I know that I've repented of my sins. And I know that I've laid it out as much as I know to do before Him. And I know that He's forgiven me. I know that He has washed me and cleansed me, and that I'm not that same person anymore. I know that He's done that work. And I pray that the Lord would help you to come to that realization if you're not there already. That He's done that work in you. And that those things really are past. That those things really are gone. And although they were condemning in the time that you repented of them, they're not condemning anymore. Because you've been delivered, because you've been freed of that. The truth shall make you free. But there are times, and this is just, you know, personal battles that we face. There are times when I'll be sitting there and I might even be praying or reading the scriptures, and all of a sudden something will come to my mind. Something that I had done way back. And I think sometimes the tendency or the desire is to just, whoa, you know, push that away. You know what I mean? No, that's under the blood. That's under the blood. It is. It is under the blood. And it's important for us to remember that. But I think it's good, too, to say, because that might not have been something that I repented of specifically, right? And I think it's good for me to be able to acknowledge and say, yeah, I remember that. And I'm thankful, Lord, that You forgave me of that. And I might even say, you know, Lord, I'm sorry that I did that. Yes. I'm sorry that it went that way. And you could even maybe pray for the person that was involved with. Yes. I don't know. Yes. But we don't have to be scared of those things. Yes. With God, yes, with us, and the work that He's done. It's not like in that moment, now all of a sudden God really forgives that sin. No. That sin was forgiven in my repentance before the Lord. That was forgiven. That wasn't something that was holding me up necessarily. But maybe it could. If I in this moment refuse to accept the truth, or I in this moment try to justify myself or to make it less than it was, or to manipulate it some way, then that's a heart issue. Right? A current heart issue of me trying to withhold or hide. But if I can say, yeah, I see, I remember doing that, and I had forgot all about that, and I'm so sorry, Lord, that I did that. I see that was wrong and corrupt, and it was hurtful, and I pray that person's not affected by that anymore, Lord, or I pray that situation can be resolved or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's important too. Because I think sometimes our tendency is to just generalize everything. And we say, well, Lord, forgive me of everything, you know. And we really don't want to get personal with it. We don't really want to get... to the T, crossing the T's and dotting the I's kind of a deal, you know? We just want to just blanket it all. And I'm not saying that God can't do that. I'm not saying that He doesn't do it in a lot of ways, because like I said, we don't remember everything we've done. There's a lot of things that God forgives us of that we have no idea or have no recollection. Your parents would have to tell you you did it, right? But God, His mercy covers that. But I do believe that although the devil may bring some of these things to our minds to try to discourage us or try to condemn us or try to say, see, you're not really saved. You know, I think of the story that was told this morning of the child that broke the crayons and said, well, that was before I got saved, Mom. And so now that's under the blood, right? It is. It really is under the blood. And we can be that way before the Lord. All these things are under the blood. If you have accepted Jesus Christ and you have applied the blood to your sins that you have openly admitted before Him and repented of, then yeah, it's under the blood. And so this is the heart that I would desire for us to have. A heart that really loves truth. You know, a lot of times we think of truth and we're thinking about other people's things being revealed. Oh yeah, we want all that revealed. Right? We want all this other stuff. We want the truth of all that. But when it's personal, not always the case. Let's go to Psalms 139. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. I would take these scriptures and say that this is somebody that's willing to receive the truth. The truth that is possibly going to reveal something that's in their heart. Possibly might reveal something that's in their thoughts that aren't right or aren't appropriate or aren't completely in alignment with what God would have for us or would want for us. And being willing for God, not just to search that out, but I'm taking from this that it's a searching it out and then revealing it or illuminating it. I'm not asking you to search it and then hide it from me. I'm asking you to search it out and show me. I'm asking you to correct me. I'm asking you, Lord, to reprove me if I need to be reproved. Are we willing for God to do that? Even now? Because sometimes that could be a hard thing. It could be difficult to know the truth sometimes. But when God is revealing the truth unto us in this situation, this person is asking God to reveal the truth to them. I really believe that in this interaction, and they're saying, Lord, I want you to show me. And the Lord says, okay, I'm going to show you, son. This is something that we need to work on. This is something that's not quite right. And then it puts us in a position not so much to get us back into condemnation, because we're in a relationship with the Lord. We're asking Him to lead us. We're asking Him to show us. We're asking Him to correct us and instruct us. He's not doing this so that He can just throw us away. But He's doing it for us to be able to work on it, for Him to be able to show us that. And we can say, yes, Lord, I can see that. Help me. Help me not to be that way. Help me not to think that way. Help me to think good things, honest things, just things. Help me to have real mercy in my thoughts and how I deal with other people. Help me to have forgiveness and patience the way I should with others. Help me not to get so impatient or whatever. And allowing God to work with us in those areas. And I don't believe that it necessarily brings us into a condemnation, although it could, if we reject the truth, if we try to hide from the truth, if we rather would be in darkness rather than light, that it's going to have a negative effect on us, and it could cause us to turn another way. But if we can allow the light of God to illuminate us, the Lord can purify us. Let's go to Psalms 26. Psalms 26, 2 and 3. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. To me, I look at that, and I don't know if it's exactly how it's meant, but when I imagine Him trying the reins and my heart, I imagine Him trying my willingness to submit, or trying my willingness to surrender. You know, the horse by the bridle, the rider can get that horse to do whatever he wants it to do as long as the horse is willing to submit, right? And you won't know that until you try to get the horse to do something, right? And so, try my reins. See if I'm obedient, Lord. See if I'm really surrendered. See if I'm willing to abide in what you have for me. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have a number of other scriptures that we could read. But we're going to go ahead and read 1 Peter 1 and 22. First Peter chapter 1 verse 22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. We talked earlier about the Lord is able to purify us, and it's through the acknowledging of the truth that He can weed out those things that are in our lives, or maybe that are in our hearts. An unforgiveness that we just can't seem to let go, or a bitterness that has taken place as a result of offense that is buried deep inside until God can get a hold of us and say, you still have bitterness. You're still holding this. You still got a hold of this. And you need to let it go. And for us to be able to say, yes, Lord, I see it and I know it needs to go. That is going to help us to purify our souls in obeying the truth. The alternative of that is to say, but yes, Lord, I see it, but they hurt me. Yes, Lord, I know, but you don't know what they did. Or you don't know how they responded. Or you don't know all the... It's like we're saying that God doesn't know all the circumstances. Or if you only knew their side of it, you would see that I'm justified in being bitter. But God is saying it's tearing you up. It's impacting your purity before me. And I need you to acknowledge it and obey the truth. And allow that root of bitterness to be removed. So he says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth, that is in order for us to be purified before God, is going to be in obeying the truth. Through the Spirit and to unfeigned love of the brethren. I want to emphasize that fact too. Through the Spirit. This is going to happen. It's not something that we grit our teeth on or tighten our fists and somehow we're going to knuckle under and get through this thing. But it's going to be through the Spirit. Yes. For you to get rid of that deep embedded root of bitterness, it's going to be through the Spirit. And it's going to begin by you acknowledging that it's there. Yes. Acknowledging the truth and seeing that it's there. And then you can seek the Lord for deliverance and you can seek His help for freedom from that thing. But until we can acknowledge the truth, we can't even seek God for help. Yes. In these matters. And so it is very important for us to want truth. Proverbs 23:23. And we are almost done, folks. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Do whatever you can to get the truth. And I can ask you the same as I started off this message with. Do you want to know the truth? Amen. And I think that God can be asking us, each one of us, do you want to know the truth? Are you ready for this? Are you willing for this to be revealed to you? Are you willing for this to be searched out in your heart and illuminated to you by the truth? It's worth it. It's valuable to you. Give whatever you have to give for the truth, because the truth will set you free. The truth has deliverance in it, and you can be freed only by the truth. It's by God showing us and us being able to acknowledge it before Him that brings deliverance. We can't repent without the truth. We can't be freed from things without the truth, because we need to bring them before God through His Spirit to deliver us of these things. Yes. Buy the truth and sell it not. The truth shall make you free. Pray for me. I want the truth. Amen. And I'm not so arrogant as to believe that my flesh won't sometimes recoil from the truth. And I pray the Lord would help me to ever be willing and ever be, not my will, but I will be done kind of a deal. Lord, tell me the truth. Is this the only way? I mean, I think of Jesus saying, if there's any other way, if it could be done any other way, let's do it another way. Nevertheless, not my will, but I will be done. And that's how I want to live my life. And I know that it's not necessarily an easy road, if you will, or cushy path. But I believe it's very valuable in what God wants to do in our lives, is being willing to accept the truth, receive the truth, and allow Him to do a work in us. Pray for me.